Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The gospel reading for the first Sunday in Lent is always the temptation of Jesus. The Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And he is tempted three times. The first, he is tempted with a body. The second temptation is with the word. And the third is with glory. Jesus overcomes, of course, and in so doing shows us how we are to struggle against the devil and expect to prevail. And that is with the word of God. Now, the second temptation is a special one. In it, the devil preaches the word of God to Jesus. And what an astounding thought that is. He tempts Jesus with the word of God. This means that the power of the word of God to save is tied up in how it is used. It can be used rightly. It can be used wrongly. Now, in the days before and leading up to the Reformation, the papists argued that you shouldn't translate the Word of God into the common language because, and I'm paraphrasing, it needs to be handled by professionals. If you just turn a book over to someone and say it's the Word of God for them to use as they will, well, that would lead to disorder, to chaos. It would be harmful. And you might be surprised to hear me say this, but the papists had a point. If you believe that the Word of God is powerful and that there's a responsible way for it to be used, then maybe it should only be entrusted to professionals, or at least to those who have been properly trained. At least, if they're going to be authorized to use it publicly. I mean, would you give your car keys to a child who's never been taught to drive? What about a firearm? What about representing someone in court? What about conducting open-heart surgery? You even need a license to professionally cut hair in the province of Alberta. Why shouldn't you need a license to use God's word? After all, God's word is powerful, isn't it? And we see that here. It's what Jesus himself uses when he faces great temptation from the devil, the greatest adversary we have. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. We expect someone to be trained to use a firearm, something dangerous if it's misused, to be sure, but a firearm can only harm the body. How much more should someone be trained to use properly a weapon that, if misused, can harm the soul? Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. I know what the phrase is getting at, but strictly speaking, it's a lie. Notice that itself is a sentence consisting of words intending to help by teaching that words are harmless. But anything that is powerless to harm you is also powerless to help. And so if the words, "you're a dummy and a loser," can't really hurt you, then the words, "you are brilliant and a winner," can't really help you. But one does hurt, and the other does help. Likewise, if "I do not forgive you" is just a harmless word, so are the words, "I forgive you all your sins." But we know these words to be as powerful as their author, Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God made flesh, because we know them to be as true for our soul as his own bodily death and resurrection. You should be trained before operating something if it's dangerous when misused. The devil used the Word of God to tell Jesus that God would protect him no matter what. It's a true Word of God. It's meant to comfort someone in the middle of a godly struggle. But it's not to be used to incite someone to do something stupid, like go jump off a building. Go have an affair. Go join a heterodox church. Go jump off a cliff. Go lie to your parents. Go dress and act like a different gender. Go eat forbidden fruit. God will protect you no matter what. Dangerous. Dangerous. The Word of God is powerful, and it is harmful when misused. It can lead people to do things recklessly that sear their conscience and can forfeit their soul. You should be trained to use something when there's a right and proper way to use it. If not, I suppose it should simply be banned altogether. But God's Word has been banned before, and may it not be so again, because it is the life of the world and the only thing that will endure forever. It empowers baptism to save, the Lord's Supper to give life. For the suffering body, it comforts the soul with the promise of eternal life. For the wicked person, it promises destruction and eternal condemnation unless they repent. In a word, the Word of God is the most powerful force in the universe, and it must be used responsibly. So, fellow confessional Lutherans, don't flinch when someone accuses you of being unchristian, for expecting Christians to first be confirmed in the faith before they can gather together under the banner of Christ's church or before they can commune together. That charge bears an assumption that the Word of God is really ineffective. Just words, not powerful as sticks and stones. Don't believe it. When they condemn you as behaving as unchristian, notice they're using words to harm you too. Probably even God's word. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Words can hurt you when used improperly, but blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. So, do you need a license to use God's word? Well, yes. To use it lawfully, anyway. The Word of God does not properly belong to anyone who just owns a Bible or who believes in Jesus Christ. Belief in Jesus Christ might be sufficient for salvation, but it's not sufficient for rightly handling the Word. The license is given to one trained in sound doctrine. Just letting go of this or that word carelessly from the Scriptures is not merely ineffective, it's harmful. Likewise, providing God's word to comfort the soul who is in heavy temptation and struggling against Satan is not merely effective, it's powerful. It has the power to save. And even if you're not an evangelist to others, you must be one to yourself. For just as Jesus was assaulted with no one to help him except the Word of God, treasured up in his heart, so it is for you, true believer, most of the time in your life. The devil will wait for an opportune time, and that will be when you are alone and struggling. Surround yourself with those who have been trained in sound doctrine, catechized and confirmed confessional Lutheran Christians, to be sure, but also be responsible and active in applying the Word of God to yourself. The devil won't only come at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings. He will also come when you're in the wilderness of the world. He'll also come in the emptiness of solitude. Know how to use the word to your benefit. When you sin, repent. When you repent, receive forgiveness from God. When you're faced with temptation, flee. But if your calling and your cross makes you stay and struggle in it, you're not alone. For Christ is with you, who himself has been tempted in every way that you have, only without sin. And he has overcome. And he will send his angels to minister to you so that you will not perish from the devil's blows, but will be restored in your new self, strengthened in the true faith, and equipped for every good work, shunning the works of the flesh, producing the works of the Holy Spirit, who has driven you into the wilderness of the world, and will see you through to the inheritance in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.